Our lesson text this morning will come from Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. That's Paul's epistle to the Galatians in chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham.
Thank you, Brother Greg, for that reading from the book of Galatians this morning and talking about the faith of Abraham and those who are of faith, who are likened unto Abraham because of his great faith. We thank you so very much for being in our assembly today to worship God with us, and we hope that you will take note of the things that are presented in your Bible, that you will see those passages as we think about them and as we look toward the Word of God for admonitions in our lives today. On the back of the family matters that you were given is a copy of the lesson with the scripture references and the major points that are made, and we hope that you will take those with you and study those as the day progresses today. Every Christian is a person who has faith. As is mentioned in this passage, those who are of faith, and those who are justified. Every Christian knows that he needs faith. Every Christian knows that he wants to have faith. And every Christian makes some sort of claim to having a faith or living in support of the faith, believing the things that God has revealed to man. And every Christian also does not want to lose that faith. He wants to cherish it and cultivate it in his life. And he wants it to be the power that helps him to make it through this life and ultimately live with God in the eternal kingdom. And so faith is a very precious thing for us, as Peter has pointed out in his letter in 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. It's something we share with other people. Hear what Peter says about this faith. When he begins the second letter, he says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Notice that he talks about the faith in the recipients of the letter as being exactly the same kind as existed in the apostles. That is a precious thing in the eyes of God. It is something that we share with other believers in Christ. Do you ever see things in your life that make you really wonder, what in the world is happening to my faith? Do you see those type of things? And maybe sometimes you might even surprise yourself to realize and to see in your own life that your faith is getting stronger and it's growing, and that you think about how God would feel about situations in your life and things that you think and things that you do. You can really surprise yourself sometimes by the growth that is in you, I think. I think you can do that quite often, because of the growing faith that is in you and how it becomes stronger and allows you to discern between good and evil and allows you to realize things about yourself that maybe you've not thought of before. And you might ask yourself the question, what is happening with my faith? And that's sort of what we want to think about in our lesson this morning. What is happening to my faith? And I want you to think about what is happening to your faith. Because something is happening, whether we realize it or not, and it may be good, and it may be not so good, but something is happening with our faith. And I think that you'll see as we progress in the lesson this morning, more completely, what I'm suggesting by that question, what is happening with my faith. Faith is something that is extremely important. Any Bible student realizes that. Any person who hears the message of God preached at any point in his life, he just realizes that faith is something that is very important. We are told that it is important in pleasing God. Because in the Hebrew letter, in chapter 11 and verse 6, we are told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so since we are people that want to please God, we want to be people of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith because the one who comes to God must believe that He is, that God exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him or those who seek Him. It's important for us to live by faith. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, 38 and 39, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who shrink back to the destruction, but those who have faith in preserving of the soul. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2 and verse 4 said, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." He will live by his faith. He will enjoy life indeed that Jesus talked about, that he came to bring to men. It's important to walk by faith. And you know, walk is an illustration. It's a word used to illustrate how we behave in this life and what we do and the things that really make up the sum total of our lives. What's our life all about? It is about the way that we walk, how we walk in this life. And Paul said to the Corinthians in the second letter, chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, the things have become new." It's important, faith is, as the foundation of our hope. As we mentioned from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it's the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, or the conviction of things not seen. Actions of obedience to God are really an outgrowth of our faith. If we do anything in obedience to God, it is because the faith that is in us, generally speaking. There are some people who do things that are harmonious with the will of God, and they may not have faith residing in them. They may do things like that for another reason. But the people of God do things like that in obedience to God, really as an outgrowth of their faith. Well, what sort of things are we talking about? Well, we're talking about prayer as being one of those things. In James 5 and verse 15, "The prayer offered in faith who will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him," that James tells us about in James 5 and verse 15. So prayer is an essential part of that. And there are numerous scriptures that show that prayer is an outgrowth of faith in the life of a Christian, but just to mention one of those, James 5 and verse 15. Also, forgiveness is something that Christians practice that is really an outgrowth of their faith. Jesus said it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe unto him through whom they come, in Luke 17, beginning in that chapter. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. He goes on to say, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,'" Jesus said, "forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." So Jesus talks about the essential nature of faith there and how that faith is used ultimately to be a forgiving person to those who come to you and say, I repent, please forgive me. Any obedience, really, is the outgrowth of faith, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, as we noted from Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Look, if you will, in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a great passage to illustrate the outgrowth of actions by people that are described in the Bible. The outgrowth of actions of people of faith. People who believed God. People who believed the message of God. It's a great passage to see what they did. How they demonstrated their faith. Hebrews 11 begins by saying faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then the writer begins to list a whole catalog of examples of people for us. And he says, for by it, that is by faith, the men of old gained approval. Now who would they gain approval from? They would gain approval from God. Yes, absolutely. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by God, he goes on to say, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So he talks about the creation. And then he starts talking about people. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. What made him offer the high quality sacrifice that he did? It was faith, wasn't it? Through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. How do we know that? God testified about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. How does he speak? He speaks by his example. He speaks by what is recorded about him concerning the quality of his sacrifice before the eyes of God. And God bears testimony to that. Look further. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found, for God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was what? He was pleasing to God. He lived a life that God said, I am happy with your life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, which evidently was true in the case of Enoch, but also in others. Look in verse 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Why would a man undertake something as strange as building a huge seaworthy vessel in the middle of dry land? Why would he do that? He would do that because he had faith that what God told him was true. That what God told him was going to come to pass was most certainly going to come to pass. Look further in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place he was to receive for an inheritance. How did he know that was going to be an inheritance for him? Because God told him. And this is his response to what God told him. He went out, confident that he would receive that inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't even have his curiosity satisfied as to exactly where this inheritance would be. But he knew that God would give him an inheritance wherever it was. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise in verse 9, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God told him he had something for him. And he didn't know all the details of it. But he knew it had to be good because of the one who promised it. Right? He had faith. Look further, verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She trusted God who made the promise to her, is the idea. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these, the writer says in verse 13, all these died in faith, without having received the promises, but having seen them. How did they see them if they didn't see them? They saw them with the eyes of faith, didn't they? Having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. This earth is not our home, is what they believe. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country and a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants will be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. He knew that they were going to leave because God told him. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. What made them go against the orders of the king? To put their own son to death. Their faith in God. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. Amen. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. Amen. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days, according to what God had commanded them, wasn't it? By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say, the Hebrew writer says in verse 32 of this chapter. For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Yes. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings, and scourgings, yet also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword and went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. What a wonderful display through the Holy Spirit and the pen of a man to write those wonderful things about what it is to live in faith for God. That tells us how extremely important faith is. And how it is through our faith that helps us to make it through this life and into the very presence of God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Now, faith is something that can change. It can change in you. It can change in me. In what ways? Well, think about the various forms of faith that are described in the Bible. In Romans 4 and verse 19, the writer says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. You see that it would be possible for one to be weak in faith by that passage. But also, it's possible for one's faith to be very strong. In Romans 4 and verse 20, yet without respect to the promise of God, he did not waver but in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving God the glory. Acts 16:5, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. You see, by those passages, and of course many others, but time will not allow us to look at every passage in the New Testament that indicates to us that faith can be strong, just like it can be weak. Also, faith can be little. Jesus said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Faith can be little in a person. It can be small. He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and everything became perfectly calm when he was with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the ship, you remember. He said, you have little faith. Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of someone and said to him, you of little faith, why do you doubt? In Matthew 14 and verse 31, Jesus, once again in Matthew 16 and verse 8, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? So he referred to several in his presence and said of their faith that it was little. It's possible for a person's faith to be little. Now, if a person has little faith, like in these conditions they did, Jesus himself described their faith accurately, did he not?
Yes.
If it's possible that they have this little faith, like Jesus said, could they change that? Could that little faith become larger?
Yes.
It could. That's what Jesus implies by his statements. He says by his statement, by implication, you shouldn't be of little faith. You should really be of great faith. And in Matthew 8 and verse 10, Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith in anyone in Israel. So you see, he compliments this person because they have great faith. Now, in thinking about my own faith, where is my faith today? Is it weak or is it strong? Is it little or is it great? And we must realize that it can change. And we can have a measure of faith that is actually not what it should be. And we could be in that condition today. Faith can change. Now, what can happen to faith? Luke 22 and verse 32 tells us that faith can fail. He said, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Which was what he said to Peter, you remember, contemplating his betrayal. So faith can fail in a person. And sadly, with some people in this life, we have seen their faith fail. And they have left association with God's people and gone back in the world. Some can deny faith. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his own household, he has done something to the faith by that action. Paul says, you've denied the faith. And it's worse than an unbeliever. Someone can actually depart from the faith. The Spirit expressly said to Paul, and he recorded such in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. What about you today? Do you realize that a possibility is there for you to fall away from the faith? You know, that possibility is very real. We would certainly want to do whatever we could to keep from falling away from that faith. Paul told of some who had made a shipwreck of their faith in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, keeping faith and a good conscience which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. You know what a shipwreck is, don't you? The ship sinks when it wrecks, doesn't it? It won't operate like it's supposed to anymore. And he says that's a good illustration of what some people do with their faith. You can stray away from the faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And he goes on to say in verse 21, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. So you see, things in this life, money, wealth, can entice us even away from God and even away from our faith. And we can stray away. Our faith can be overthrown. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 18, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Your faith can be upset by someone who brings strange things to your ears, enticing you to believe what they believe or see things their way. Your faith can be overthrown. Your faith can even be cast off by you. But refuse to put your younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. The record says in 1 Timothy 5, verses 11 and 12, they cast off their faith. Some can even become unbelievers after being believers. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Where does he place that responsibility?
In you.
In you. In one who has an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. It's not some mysterious, unknown power that works on you against your will. It's really something that is in you. What should happen with contemplating changes in our faith? What should happen? We've seen some things that we should not allow to happen. What should happen with our faith? Think about that. Really, our faith should grow, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater, the writer said. So your faith can grow. That's a good thing. It can increase. Luke 17 and verse 5, the disciples pled with the Lord. Lord, increase our faith. Make it more. Make it stronger. Make it bigger. Faith can be strengthened, Colossians 1 and verse 11, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience and joy, those things that the Christian looks to cultivate in his life to secure his place in the everlasting kingdom. Ephesians 3 and verse 16, Paul said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, where faith lodges and lives and grows. So faith can be strengthened. Those are good things that happen to our faith. Those are necessary things that happen to our faith, aren't they? Now what happened? What happened to the faith of those who fell out of favor with the Lord? What happened to their faith? What happened that made their faith weak, that made it little, that made them give up on their faith? What are some things that happen? Well, sometimes people can take for granted that they have faith and then not do the things that are necessary to make sure that it grows and to make sure that it stays strong. They can just go through life thinking, I'm a believer, and so I can set it on automatic pilot or set the cruise control, and everything will be just fine. Is that the way that it really works, though? I don't think that it is. We can take our faith for granted to the extent that we actually ignore the warnings that God has given us in His Word. And when we ignore His warnings about dangers to our faith, we'll lose our faith, won't we? We can assume that things will always stay the same. Well, I believed when I obeyed the gospel 20 years ago, and so everything ought to be okay now, shouldn't it? Well, not necessarily. We can assume that we'll stay the same, but things don't stay the same. They either grow or they dissipate. We can say, well, that'll never happen to me. And we can be overconfident about having our faith overthrown, can't we? We just think, well, that happens to somebody else. That doesn't happen to me. But it can. We can really neglect our faith. And that neglect really becomes a raft upon which the sincere and the well-intentioned kind of get in that raft and drift right away from God. You know, drifting is a bad thing. Drifting away from God is. It's why men who know better don't do better, because they're in that raft and they're drifting away from God. The word itself means to be careless. Do you imagine, you know, as careless as people are with things in general in this life, you know, as careless as a teenager is who stomps on the gas coming down through here in this 30-mile-an-hour zone with children crossing the street all the time, and he wants to see if his car will do 60 in a 30 zone, and children all around, is that careless, you think? If people are careless in things like that, can they be careless with regard to their faith?
Yes.
Why, certainly they can. And it begins with a careless attitude toward some of the things that were heard in the gospel of Christ. And if continued, it manifests less respect for truth and worse, less respect for the one who gave us the truth. We can drift in that raft of neglect. And not only does the drifter forfeit his fellowship with Christ, he drifts to the point where sooner or later he trods Christ underfoot. Stomps on him, counts the blood of the covenant as an unworthy thing because he falls away from God. Not that he intended to. His intentions were good to begin with, but through neglect, he has drifted away. Some people fail to feed their faith. In Colossians 1, 9 through 11, that passage shows us that it's true. And people fail to add to their faith, as Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Some people fail to exercise their faith as they should in Luke 17, 5 through 10. Some people fail to check their faith. Check it. You check the oil in your car to see that there's enough lubrication in those moving parts to keep it from locking up when you're on the highway sometime. You check your fuel gauge to see if you have enough fuel in the tank to get you to the grocery store and back home. You wouldn't want to run out of gas and be stranded on the highway. Why can't we check our faith to make sure we are where God wants us to be and we're moving in the direction where God wants us to move? You know, those things are very, very important, aren't they? Faith is extremely important. Faith can change in me and in you, and it does, whether we realize it or not. And we know that there are some things that can happen. Do you believe everything you've always believed? Or are you reading, learning more about God, altering the way that you think about things? Do you feel that your faith is stronger now? Do you tolerate some things now that you didn't tolerate before? Are you bothered by things that are wrong and sin? Or have you gotten to the point where some of those things just don't bother you anymore? Are you bored with Bible study? Are some things harder for you to do now for God than they used to be? You know, those kind of questions are very important to us to gauge our faith and to see where we are. Are we drifting away from God? Are we moving closer to God? Could our faith be described maybe as a wet towel? You know, when you saturate a towel, the water just is dripping off of it and it gets your hands wet and your clothes wet if you don't hold it out away from it. Is that the way our faith is? Is it saturated? Or does it have only just a little bit of moisture in it? Only a little bit. Is it like a damp rag or towel? Does that describe your faith? Has your appetite for spiritual things changed? At one time, did you enjoy spiritual things, but now you find yourself not enjoying those things? Where are you? Where are you this morning? What's going on with your faith? Is it growing? Is it getting stronger? And is there anything that we can do to help you increase your faith, make your faith stronger? This is a group of Christians who is concerned about each and every one here and the status of your faith. We want it to be better. We want it to be greater. We want it to be stronger. We want it to be richer because we know that's what God wants. And it makes God happy and pleased with us. And He will rejoice to bless us when this life is over because of our strong faith. Can we help you today to be strong in faith? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.